You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's time to eat.
What are you hungry for?
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Joe Dolan.
Feed me now. I'm starving.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. It is, of course, presented by DraftKings. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years. Most of you know this. If you don't, hey, welcome to the family. Welcome to the show. We got a bunch of them. Ross Tucker Football Podcast is daily during the season, 3 times a week here in the offseason. Even Money Podcast yesterday with Steve Fezzik going over some of his favorite NFL bets that he's already made. These were primarily in October, just looking at spots, looking at his power rankings. Encourage you to check that out. Had an awesome Ross Tucker Football Podcast with Jordan Schultz, the up-and-coming superstar insider for The Score today. And then Greg Cosell will join us tomorrow. Today I'm joined, as always, on the Fantasy Feast by Joe Dolan, the master of all he oversees at fantasypoints.com, where you can and should use the code 23FEAST to get a discount. Also, you should check out Joe on social media at FG_Dolan. And I'm also joined there. We have a guest. We don't have a guest very often on the Fantasy Feast podcast. But how about the pride of not only Pottsville, Pennsylvania, but the pride of Kutztown University, the great Mike Clay from ESPN. Check him out on social media at Mike Clay NFL. What's amazing about Mike, Joe, is Mike's kind of got me circled here. I'm from Reading, okay? Pottsville is like 40 minutes due north from Reading on Route 61. Then Mike for college goes to Kutztown, which is like due 25 minutes east of Reading. So Mike is surrounding me and doing a fantastic job of it. Joe, I don't know, you probably know this already, Mike, but Joe's like an Easton boy. Yeah. He's an Eastern PA guy as well. We got the whole Eastern PA covered here.
And yeah, I'll tell you, my
brother actually lives in Easton. But Ross, I got to apologize. Look, sometimes people ask me where I'm from, where I went to college, and of course I mentioned Pottsville, and I say, you know, the home of Yuengling Brewery. Believe it or not, about 100 years ago, we had an NFL team in Pottsville. And then I say, well, I went to college in, you know, near Reading. Why am I missing? That's actually not where Ross Tucker's from. That's where Taylor Swift is from. That's usually my go-to to get people excited about that area. So apologies for that.
No reason to apologize. And yes, I've had several conversations with her dad about how I think I might have been the most well-known person from Wyomissing till like 2007 or so. Mike, you'll appreciate this. Joe, I might have told you this, maybe not. But I went to one of her concerts in 2015, and I told her mom that joke about how I was the most well-known person till like 2008. Her mom looked at me dead serious and said, well, you know, just keep working, Ross. And I said, no, I think it's over. I think I lost. I'm ready to take an L on that one, Mrs. Swift. Joe, what were you going
to
say?
I was going to say, when it comes to Pottsville, believe me, if there is a big high school sporting event, at least an indoor one, in the state of Pennsylvania, or at least in Eastern Pennsylvania, if you didn't go to Mark's Hall, you didn't go anywhere.
That's
so,
right.
I'm intimately familiar with the high level athletics of Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
So, by the way, Mike, I read that book by what's the guy's name, David Feldman, about the Pottsville Maroons. I read that book. I'm sure you did as well.
Of course, I did most of my book reports on the Pottsville Maroons as a sports-loving nerd growing up in Schuylkill County. So that was always the go-to. So, yeah, I have a lot of good, you know, mementos from that time as well. Unfortunately, a lot of people from that era have passed on, but there's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of things from when the Pottsville Maroons existed, of course, in Pottsville, and actually won an NFL championship. If you're interested in it, look it up. They had that championship stolen away from them. It's kind of a bunch of nonsense. I sometimes wonder what that would have looked like in the social media era now if something like that happened. If you read the front, you know, kind of the details of what happened there, it would never fly this day and age with all the information flying around. But unfortunately, it's a kind of a bizarre thing that happened to an awesome small town.
Yeah, it was about 100 years ago. And if you're curious as to why the Cardinals organization has never won the Super Bowl and never will, it's because they're cursed.
That's right.
Because they stole an NFL championship from the Pottsville Maroons, which is just an amazing nickname too, by the way. But we have Mike on. You know, I'm a big fan of Mike's for a lot of different reasons. But one of which is he posts the best graphic images on social media. And one of them has all the head coaches, offensive coordinators, play callers, and defensive coordinators. And I got to tell you guys, and Joe and I will talk about it a little bit more later, we got a lot of new play callers this year in new spots. I'm looking at the red 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. By my count, is that right, Mike? 14? New play callers with different teams this year. I mean, it's almost half the league.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, that might seem like a lot, but it's common, right? We see this sort of turnover pretty much every season. There's actually more offensive coordinator changes than there are play caller changes. It's kind of unreal. You look at the turnover and, you know, Andy Reid is actually the longest tenured play caller in the NFL right now, 2013. For Andy Reid, you know, but since then, I mean, it's just unreal how much. I mean, Sean McVay, you know, was 2017. That was only 5 years ago. He's one of the longest tenured guys. So you see that at the coordinator positions, whether it's, you know, or the impatience of the fans and ownership to make changes and fire guys or guys getting promoted to head coaching roles. So you know, not a lot of head coaching changes this year, but the play callers, as usual, turned over quite a bit.
So I guess the question for both of you guys, and Joe, I'm going to start with you on this. How much does it matter for fantasy? I mean, it would seem to me to think it matters a lot, like a real lot, and this could be an edge for us over others, but maybe I'm overstating it.
I think it does matter a lot. I think part of the problem we can run into when it comes to coaching changes is maybe – thinking we know more than we actually do about some of these guys. And I'm sure we're going to get into it because I'm certain Mike has takes on Todd Monken. I think people are going to look at Todd Monken and presume his offense is going to be way different than Greg Roman. I think it will be. Lamar Jackson says it will be. But how much is Monken going to actually resemble what he did, you know, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I think that's part of the trap we could fall into is just thinking, oh, this is going to be just fine, or this is going to be a disaster, when in all actuality, coaches adjust to their personnel, personnel adjust to the coaches. So the head coach, if the head coach hired a new offensive coordinator, how much insight is the head coach going to have into the play calling, even if the head coach isn't going to be calling the plays? I think those are some of the things that we could run into that could be an issue, but there's no doubt a team changing what's its base personnel, what is its base run-pass ratio. Those things can be massive for fantasy football. Mm-hmm.
Mike, since you're a data guy, I don't know if there's a way to really quantify it, but how much do these changes matter? Do you have any data around it? Obviously, we've seen situations where, I'll give you one. How about Mike Gesicki? I mean, Mike McDaniel came in, and you might as well have just shut off Mike Gesicki from even being someone to talk about, even though he's on the franchise tag. So there are certain guys where it's just not a fit with what that new play caller is going to run.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I would just say it's a tough one from a data standpoint, because there's a lot of things to consider and personnel is one of the big ones. And, you know, I think an example of that would be, you know, probably, you know, Indianapolis this year, right? Shane Steichen takes over as the head coach, bring in Jim Bob Cooter as the offensive coordinator, but Steichen is going to be the play caller for that offense. And, you know, how often they call pass and what that offense looks like, it would depend on, of course, quarterback talent, but also the type of quarterback and the other personnel that they have in play. So, you know, maybe he comes in there and they drafted, let's say that they drafted Bryce Young instead of Anthony Richardson. You might say, well, this might be an offense that leans a little toward the pass. Like, for example, Steichen was with Philadelphia and they actually leaned toward the pass early in games last season. They just had an easy schedule and were a dominant team, and they were able to run the ball a ton in the second half, which makes their pass run ratio look a little bit like they're a run heavy team. But they took Anthony Richardson, right? So instead of being a balanced or a pass first offense, This is a team that's going to end up with a ton of rushing attempts, whether it's because Richardson has designed runs at the goal line or anywhere else in the field, whether it's scrambles, if it's because they're trailing in games, you know, and that matters a lot. In fact, I was just writing something about Michael Pittman, and like, I don't know if people realize that last season, the Colts were near the top of the NFL, eighth actually in pass attempts, primarily because they, you know, pocket quarterbacks and they were struggling, right? I have that them projected for 502 this season. They had 604 last year. That's the difference of 100 fewer pass attempts. And it's completely logical when you consider who is going to be under center for that team, not to mention the efficiency concerns there for a rookie quarterback, especially a guy that struggled to throw the ball in college. So there's a lot of things to consider, a lot of variables, and knowing the tendencies of the play caller is important, but obviously not the only thing.
We were talking earlier about Pottsville, which is awesome, but I'm a Labatt Blue Light guy. If you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we, maybe even during your fantasy draft. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Mike, so you talked about the Colts. Let's go through it just so people know what we're talking about here, okay? We got Drew Petzing in Arizona, no track record. Todd Monken in Baltimore does have a track record, but obviously a new team. Frank Reich in Carolina, Mike McCarthy, very interesting, in Dallas, Sean Payton in Denver, Bobby Slowick is a first-timer in Houston, Shane Steichen, we talked about, Kellen Moore out there with the Chargers with Justin Herbert. Bill O'Brien is back in New England. Nathaniel Hackett is with the New York Jets. Brian Johnson gets promoted in Philadelphia. Then you've got Dave Canales in Tampa. Tim Kelly takes over in Tennessee. And Eric Bieniemy comes from Kansas City over to Washington, which is an interesting one. Is there another one there, Mike, that really jumps out to you?
So you listed them all off. I would say an interesting one, probably one that might not get much attention but is notable, is Drew Petzing in Arizona, because he comes actually from the Kevin Stefanski tree, which has primarily been a run-first conservative offense. That's the exact opposite of what we have seen in Arizona over the past few years in the Cliff Kingsbury era, right? They were super fast-paced. So that's going to be a really interesting change. And again, much like I just talked about with the Colts, there could be a huge drop in offensive snaps per game. And pace is just something you're hearing more and more about in fantasy analysts. And it matters because the difference between a slow offense like Green Bay or what Cleveland has done or Arizona could mean 5 to 7 targets per game for a passing game, or of course a handful of rushing attempts as well. So that's something to think about. Unfortunately, guys, I don't know if it's going to matter a lot this season in Arizona, because this might be a rough one, right? There's already, mock drafts for next season with them getting the first two picks of the draft, because of course they have Houston's pick as well. It might be a rough one, especially if Kyler Murray only plays half the season. But again, they just moved on from DeAndre Hopkins. Obviously we've been analyzing what that offense is going to look like, and the change in scheme is something that should certainly not be ignored.
So I feel like, Joe, with guys like Petzing or Brian Johnson or whoever, there are Canales, there's guys that we don't know a lot about. Bobby Slowick, we can imagine there'll be a lot of the Shanahan stuff. But what about like Mike McCarthy and Sean Payton? I mean, don't these guys have long enough track records that we should be able to have a pretty good feel for it? McCarthy's been pretty outspoken about the run game part of it, which is funny because I don't really remember him doing that when he was in Green Bay.
Yeah, so the thing about McCarthy is, I guess Kellen Moore was kind of made a scapegoat in a little bit after back-to-back disappointing finishes against the 49ers. here's the thing about the Dallas Cowboys offense, and Brian Schottenheimer's coming in there as well. Over Kellen Moore's four seasons as the offensive coordinator and the play caller with the Dallas Cowboys, only the Kansas City Chiefs had more points per game and yards per game over that span. Now, keep in mind, that wasn't just with Dak Prescott at quarterback. You've got Cooper Rush making starts and Andy Dalton making starts and Ben DiNucci making starts. Basically, they had a full season of starts from quarterbacks outside of Dak Prescott. And over the last 4 years, they're still just second to the Chiefs in points per game and yards per game. I think that's a concern for me. I think Dallas's offensive personnel improved this offseason. You know, you go get Brandon Cooks, you go get Schoonmaker, you know, you're bringing in guys on the perimeter to help strengthen that. But I think the loss of Kellen Moore is pretty significant for the Cowboys. And that flips me over to the Chargers, where the Chargers moved away from sideways Joe Lombardi and go and get Kellen Moore. And I think one of the most telling stats from this play caller change offseason, from this coaching carousel, is Dak Prescott in 4 years under Kellen Moore. I don't think anybody would consider Dak Prescott as having one of the bigger arms in the NFL. Certainly good enough. Never dipped below 7.7 yards per average depth of target in his four seasons. Justin Herbert under sideways Joe Lombardi, never above 7.6. So I think you're going to see a big philosophy shift in Dallas. And I think as a result of that, you're going to see a big philosophy shift with the LA Chargers to a more vertical passing attack, which I think is going to suit Justin Herbert well. So I think that Kellen Moore change is the more interesting part of Mike McCarthy actually taking over in Dallas.
It's interesting because I know talking with the Chargers last year, they don't really feel like they had that much speed, you know, at receiver, which is one of the reasons why they didn't throw it downfield that much. I'm curious, Mike, Joe mentioned earlier, how are you ranking Lamar Jackson right now? Because they're talking like he's not going to run as much, maybe not nearly as much. They're talking a big game about the throwing. Call me skeptical, both on how little he runs as well as how productive they are in the passing game if they elected to primarily try to move the ball through that means.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. This is still a guy that's in his prime, right? He's 26 years old. It's not like he's 33 and can't run anymore, right? That's still going to be a big part of his game. He's had at least 112 carries every season he has played in the NFL. And that includes the last 2 years when he's only played 12 games, both of those seasons. So even if they call more passing plays, he's going to scramble a lot. They're still going to be designed runs. So I'm not really worried about a major drop off in terms of rushing production. I think he'll be in that, you know, 700 plus yard range, score a handful of touchdowns. And that's obviously going to give him a super high floor from a fantasy perspective. And again, that same sort of logic applies to their pass catchers as well, right? I mean, I still have reservations about the amount of volume in that offense, especially because they have more mouths to feed than ever before, right? You bring in Odell Beckham Jr., you obviously have Zay Flowers, a healthy Rashad Bateman, and of course, Mark Andrews is going to be busy at tight end. They'll probably try to design some things for J.K. Dobbins in the passing game as well. So a lot of mouths to feed in an offense that probably best case scenario, I would say, will be mid-pack in pass attempts. In fact, Lamar Jackson has never finished higher than 24th in pass attempts. And there was a season, remember a couple of years ago, they did try to balance out the offense. They were kind of towards the mid-pack in terms of pass rate. They didn't really like that. They decided to regress back and run the ball more. But again, just with a quarterback that can add such a great dimension with his legs and will scramble so often, there's just a ceiling on passing volume. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. A little more passing, but not a massive change by any means. This isn't going to be the Kansas City offense or the Chargers offense or Cincinnati, where they're even Buffalo, where they're chucking the ball a million times. I can't imagine that's the scenario.
Mike, last question for you, because it's topical. And I know some of this will depend on the situation and where he lands. Maybe a lot of it. But at this point, DeAndre Hopkins as a fantasy wide receiver in your mind? Because people are talking about him, Mike, like he's like all pro DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not sure he is. And I'm not sure that's even what he's looking for. It seems like he's looking to go somewhere where he can hopefully win a championship as opposed to getting high volume.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I was really worried about him after 2021, right? Because he had a career low target share. The production wasn't good, but you know, last year played 9 games with Arizona, 29% target share during those weeks. That was 6th highest that wide receiver, 9th in fantasy points per game. He looked good. You know, he looked like prime DeAndre Hopkins. Now, you know, he's about to turn 31. He's missed a lot of action over the last 2 years. Those are concerns for sure. But I'll tell you what, there are landing spots here that could lead to a very similar target share, or one similar to maybe what Tyreek Hill saw in Kansas City if he lands there. I mean, it's available. They have, honestly, by far, the Chiefs are the best landing spot for him. That's going to be your Super Bowl favorite already. And if he wants a lot of volume, I mean, how often can you get released at this point in the year and have that situation where you can go to the best team in the NFL with the best quarterback in the NFL and have a path to being the clear number one receiver and see a massive target share? I mean, if he's really shooting for the championship, he should take whatever they offer, go there and be that feature target. If he is worried about himself and wants some pressure off of him and doesn't mind being a lower targeted player or, you know, a lower target share than he'd see in Kansas City, maybe it's Buffalo where you have Stephon Diggs on the other side. Maybe that's a place you can still go. That's a pass heavy contender. But for me, if this doesn't work out with Kansas City, I don't know what we're doing here. That seems like a no brainer fit from both sides.
Check him out on social media, Mike Clay NFL. You got to follow him so you get all these graphics. I save them right away, right onto my phone. They're awesome. Thank you, Mike.
All right, you got it, guys. Take care.
And thank you, DraftKings, by the way. How about this right now, Joe? Now that we know the NBA Finals and the fight for the title is on, you can place a $5 bet during the finals on either Miami or Denver and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can take a shot at bigger payouts with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Open the DraftKings Sportsbook app, opt in, place your stepped-up same-game parlay by combining 3 or more bets from any NBA Finals game. The key, though, is to download the Sportsbook app, sign up with code Ross. New customers, you place that $5 bet, you score $200 in bonus bets instantly, only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code Ross. Joe, what are your thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins?
When he got released, wasn't surprised. There's a couple of layers to this onion that I want to peel back. First and foremost, let's take something where we can make it pretty actionable right now. Hollywood Brown, by the way, he was like wide receiver 30-something in ADP. That's obviously going to rise. But without DeAndre Hopkins last year, Hollywood Brown, 10.7 targets per game. That would have been wide receiver 5 over the full season. He also averaged 18.3 fantasy points per game, would have been wide receiver 7 over the full season. So that's a guy who, I mean, I don't know who's going to be playing quarterback at the beginning of the year, but Hollywood Brown's going to get a boost. Michael Wilson, the rookie out of Stanford, their 3rd-round pick, he's their only big body on the perimeter. So he's going to get a boost. Hollywood Brown was top 18 in design target rate. This is all per fantasy points data. Top 14 in targets per route run. He had a much lower slot rate last year when DeAndre Hopkins was out at the beginning of the season. Now, of course, we have the new play caller, as Mike mentioned, but I think this is all good news for Hollywood Brown from a fantasy perspective. When it comes to DeAndre Hopkins, though, I do have a concern. Per fantasy points data, of 105 wide receivers who qualified in yards per route run, he was 72nd in yards per route run versus man coverage. So maybe there's a little bit of a slowdown to his game. Again, landing spot is going to be entirely dependent. And I'm wondering if by the time we record next week, we have one to break down for DeAndre Hopkins. It's good news for Hollywood Brown. The problem is I just think this team is going to be abominable. It's going to stink. And investing in teams who stink for fantasy sometimes isn't the best strategy, but I'm not really sure who else is going to be vying for targets there for the Arizona Cardinals. I think Hopkins is going to draw plenty of interest. I would anticipate he signs with a contender, whether that be the Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, teams who need an outside receiver. We'll evaluate that when we cross that bridge, but I know for Hollywood Brown, for Michael Wilson, especially in Dynasty, good news for those guys.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm glad we got to do this. And now we talk about, I didn't even realize that about Hollywood Brown, which is interesting. I think that the new play caller thing is fascinating, and just how much time you allocate to it, how much you think about it. And then we'll see this year how much of a difference it really makes. Fascinating to see Sean Payton in Denver, Mike McCarthy in Dallas. Always love seeing my guy Joe Dolan at FG_Dolan. Go to fantasypoints.com. Use that code 23FEAST. Make sure you actually win your league this year. Other than that, I'm stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and the College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.